Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you are Lord over our past, and that you are King of our present, and that you are Savior for our future. And because it's true, we don't have to fear anything. God, I thank you that you are a God that is constantly moving, constantly restoring, constantly reclaiming those years and those moments and those experiences that the evil one wants to take away from us. And you're creating and crafting them into something new. So God, I thank you for the privilege that we have of coming here today and being reminded that all of our hope, every ounce of our confidence for our tomorrows can be invested with you. And we don't have to be nervous about the outcome. So God, I thank you for being with us. I thank you for being for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but last Sunday, our family was watching the Super Bowl. My son is like an avid Chiefs fan. We were on vacation, and he was so committed, he was wearing his Travis Kelce jersey with him to Florida. And we were like, do you want to go somewhere special to watch the game? He's like, I know, I want to watch it in our hotel room where I cannot be distracted. And so that's what we did. We hunkered down in there, and he had a blast. In fact, he was so excited about that game, he's continuing to watch YouTube videos that have like recaps of what happened. And he was telling me on our way in, he's like, Dad, I watched this video that told about what happened on this one play when the Chiefs were like third down, they had 15 yards to go, and Travis Mahomes, the quarterback, asked the offensive coordinator if they had time to run this crazy play that they had concocted. And he goes, now he wasn't asking if they had time on the clock, he was asking if their offensive line was good enough to buy him the time that he needed for Tyreek Hill to run the route that would take him way downfield for a completion. And he goes, and he did. And instead of picking up 15, they gained 40 yards. It was a total game-changing play. And when you understand the game of football, or actually any sport for that matter, you know that there are different dimensions of every game. And when different people know their role and they're excellent in their responsibility, when they're functioning as they should, incredible things can happen. So in that particular play, not only did you have a quarterback who could make that throw, you had a receiver who was incredibly fast with sure hands who could catch that throw. You had an offensive line who was buying both of them time to get where they needed to be in order to make it happen. Then you had other receivers who were so good at running decoy routes that they fooled the other defensive backs. And then you had an offensive coordinator who wasn't even on the field, who was so good at his job. He engineered that whole process. So you had five different individuals or groups of people who were so good at understanding their specific function that it was a thing of beauty to watch when they all did together. And like Nate already said, we're kicking off a new series today called Roll Call, and we're trying to help us understand what roles has God created and called each of us to function in so that the church, specifically Central, can function and thrive and flourish the way that God intended it to do. And at the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to sign up for what we call a C6 group. C6 group stands for Community for 6 Weeks. So it's about 8 to 12 people who get together every week for 6 weeks to discuss the content that is being covered in the Sunday morning series, but then also talk, dream, pray, and encourage one another towards applications. And some of the best catalytic windows of growth in my life have happened as a result of being in a C6 group with other people who care about me and are helping me say, all right, how do I take this principle and live it out concretely this week? So I want to make a case for why I want you to participate in this C6 journey with us that's going to kick off next week. I want to talk about why we need to understand the functions, who helps us understand the functions, and how we thrive inside of those functions. Let's talk about why. Why do we need these functions? Well, the Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4. Nate already referenced this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So he lists five groups of people who make the church be what it's supposed to be: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Sometimes over the course of this series, you'll hear us refer to this as APEST, kind of an acronym that brings them all together. And J.R. Woodward is an author who's come up with paraphrases, like just short little phrases that help us understand what these might actually mean. Woodward calls the apostle, he calls apostles dream awakeners. Apostles are people who help people visualize a yet-to-be-realized reality. They help them dream kingdom-sized dreams for their community or for their church or for their own lives, and then help them develop a path to reach that. The apostle's a dream awakener, a spiritual pioneer. Then he talks about prophets. Prophets are what Woodward calls heart revealers. They help us understand what God's heart is for a situation or an issue or a community. But the heart revealer is also able to help us understand what's going on in our own hearts. There have been a handful of times in my life where I've run into somebody who I might not know super well, but I'll talk to them about a situation that I'm going in, or maybe they'll just pray over me during an altar time like this. And they are able to speak things into my life that they could only know through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes a prophet can reveal something that is happening in your heart, whether it's positive or negative, that you were not even consciously aware was happening. Prophets are heart revealers. Evangelists. Evangelists are storytellers. Evangelists are able to communicate the story of who God is, what Christ has done, and what Christ desires to do in each one of our lives in such a compelling way that we are forced to a point of decision to decide whether we want to go all in with the person of Jesus or whether we're going to opt out. Then he talks about shepherds, and for shepherds, he gives the title soul healer. He goes, shepherds are the kind of persons who are so attentive to the brokenness, the needs, the hungers, the soul yearnings of people, that they are able to shepherd them, extend compassion to them through a challenging season and get them back up on their feet. Then finally, he says that a teacher is a light giver. A teacher can illuminate a truth from Scripture about life that the hearer needs to know in order for them to take the next right step on their journey with God. One time I heard a guy say, sometimes when we're trying to compliment maybe a preacher that we like, we say, well, that's a person who makes the Word of God come alive. And Ken Davis says, correction, the Word of God was never dead. We just keep killing it. So he says, what a teacher does is a teacher allows the Scripture to be exactly what it is. A teacher is a person who doesn't kill the Word of God. They allow it to breathe and expand. So these are the roles: apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. Christ himself gives specific people specific functions to equip each other for works of service with the aim of unity and maturity. Conversely, if a church is not achieving unity or maturity, it is likely that people are not flourishing in their functions. When a church gets stuck, relationally, spiritually, or numerically, sometimes leaders look for a quick fix, a new project, a superstar leader, a flashy program. Yet Paul contends that Christ himself has given every church everything and everyone it needs to thrive. Alan Hirsch is an author and thinker who wrote a book called 5Q that we're basing some of this series on. He said most churches in the United States are stagnating because they value two functions, shepherd and teacher, instead of all five. In fact, they elevate shepherd, teacher over all of the rest, apostle, prophet, evangelist. And in fact, if you've ever had the privilege of being on a search committee of hiring a senior leader or hiring church staff of any kind, it seems like most people who are graduating from seminary or who have recently been ordained, they love to trumpet the fact that they are shepherd teachers. And as a result, many of our educational models say we want to give people Bible knowledge and we want to give them pastoral care skills. And if we can give them two of those, then the church will be fine. The problem is that when new ministry leaders think that shepherd teacher are the only gifts, everybody that they develop, mentor, and disciple turns into being shepherd teachers. And the church has this huge gaping hole where the apostles, prophets, and evangelists are supposed to be. Many churches fail to reflect the explosive dynamic we find in the book of Acts because they're missing one or more of the functions. Roll call matters because it helps us transcend any threat to both unity and maturity in our midst. Roll call also matters because it helps us find the person behind the functions. So one question that's fair to ask is, who has these functions? who can show us what apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher look like? You may have heard the story of the Sunday school class where there's a 6-year-old boy and all of his friends, and the teacher is saying, now I'm thinking about an animal. It's small and it's furry. It's got a big bushy tail. It likes to climb up trees and eat nuts. The class is silent for a moment, and finally the boy goes, well, I was going to go with squirrel, but because we're in church, I'm going to say Jesus. Now, this is the one time where you can actually answer Jesus to this question. Who shows us what all five of these look like? Well, Christ does. When we look through the Gospels, we see at every moment Jesus is modeling for us what every single one of these functions displays. Jesus is an apostle. An apostle is always looking to take new territory, using new methods and new ways to reach new people for the gospel. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus replies to his friends who are saying, hey, Jesus, you got a great thing going in Capernaum. Let's just set up shop here. Like, let's build a building and put out a sign and get you an office and just make this our headquarters. And Jesus says, no, let us go somewhere else. Let us go to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. The apostle is forward leaning. Their eyes are to the horizon, trying to develop new networks that expand what God is doing. Jesus is also the prophet. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them. I have come to fulfill them. Jesus is saying, I'm not reversing anything that any of the prophets that have gone before me have said. In fact, I am the exclamation point on that entire prophetic thread throughout Scripture. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus gives his inaugural sermon to the people of his hometown of Nazareth. And what does he do? He quotes the prophet Isaiah and quotes him with such authority and says, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. That was such a radical statement that the people actually tried to run him off a cliff that very same day. Because Jesus wasn't just saying, I come in the tradition of the prophets. He's saying, I am the ultimate prophet. Jesus was an evangelist. His relative John the Baptist has been imprisoned by Herod, and he was trying to question if all of the things that he thought were true about Jesus really were. And sends friends to ask Jesus, are you the one that we're waiting for, or should we expect somebody else? And Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus is declaring the good news that the kingdom is near and is available to all, not just through his words, but through his miraculous actions. Jesus is telling a new story. A kingdom that is greater than any earthly one that we could imagine is inviting us to join its movement. Jesus is a super shepherd. Matthew 9 says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw people who were wandering aimlessly through their existence, just hemorrhaging out their hurts, and wept with them. That word compassion actually means to suffer with. Jesus cared about them so deeply, he entered into their pain as he walked with them so that they could come to a place of wholeness and healing. That's the heart of a shepherd. And then finally, Jesus is teacher. We read this in Luke chapter 4. It says, he went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Now, if you're a communicator who's trying to make a point and you make a very coherent argument, but for your illustration, rather than tell a story, you perform an exorcism, do you think you have the crowd's attention? The answer is yes. It says all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." You know why the series matters? The series matters because it helps us understand why we need the functions. It's going to move us towards maturity and unity together. It helps us get a clearer picture of who Jesus is and how he models all of these consistently, not only in the scripture, but even now. And finally, we need this series because it will teach us how we can identify our functions and then how we can exercise those functions on a regular basis. Does anybody remember the early days of reality TV, like in American Idol, where they would have really amazing vocalists, and then just to keep things interesting, the producers would let people advance to an audition in front of actual judges who had no business attempting to sing at all. And they did this for comic relief, which either was scripted and very brilliant or wasn't and was just flat out cruel. But whenever I watched one of these audio train wrecks unfold, the question that I had was, where are these people's friends? Like, why didn't anybody who loved them say, please don't go? You'll embarrass yourself on national television in front of millions of people. Or did they just not have anybody who loved and trusted them enough to tell them the truth? See, community aids us in the process of discovery. Community helps us understand who we are. And sometimes community will tell us something about ourselves that we need to hear so that we do not waste time or energy going down a path we ought not to be on. When I was a freshman in high school, I went out for the football team, and I was so amazing that they put me on the third, not the third string, on the third team. I was on the C team as a tight end. And at the awards banquet at the end of season, I was awarded the Butterfingers Prize, which they gave to people who dropped the most passes in any given season. Now, when I got through the shame of being like publicly disparaged in front of all of my friends, you know what I decided? I decided not to go out for football as a sophomore. And I saved myself all sorts of time and injury and pain and suffering and sweat and blood and grass stains because I wasn't good at it anyway. And people loved me enough to be able to say, please don't try this again. About 10 years ago, when my son was a toddler, he was going to preschool on site at the church that I was working at. And then he would come up to my office for about a half an hour break for lunch, and then he would go into a daycare program that was also on site. And so we were hanging out, and I think I got distracted, and I left him alone for what I think was 30 seconds, but you know, it was probably 6 minutes. And I came back into my office, and to my horror, he had taken a black Sharpie marker and just run it along three of the walls right about at waist height. So 18 inches off the floor, black marker all the way around. So, like, very embarrassed about the whole thing, I pick up the phone and I call our facilities director, Bill, and I go, Bill, there's been an incident. If you could bring me the green matching paint for my office, I can fix it. I'll get it done today, I promise. So Bill came into my office and took a look around and he goes, Steve, I've got the paint and I'm going to fix this. And I go, Bill, it's not a big deal. I have the time. It's not your fault. You've got other things on your plate. Just let me take care of this. And he looked me dead in the eye and he goes, Steve, everybody has their gifts. Because yours is preaching. You should stick with that. And what Bill was telling me was, I appreciate your intent, and I know that you think this task is not beneath you, but if you do it, I'm going to have to do it later. So let's just save everybody the trauma and let you do your thing and let me do mine. Community allows us to hear the truths about ourselves that sometimes we would really rather not hear. But conversely, community also tells us the beautiful and powerful and strong things about our lives that we are blind to because of maybe our family of origin, maybe some of our own personal failures, or maybe our own kind of shame struggles or insecurities. So if you decide to participate in this journey, next week you're going to have an opportunity to take a test, an instrument, a profile assessment that will help you understand what some of your, it will actually rank you in your APEST to help you say, what is the way that God may have wired me? And a few weeks ago, people in our office started kind of piloting this, and we had some amazing hallway conversations. Because I had one friend that says, oh, it says I rank super high as a shepherd, but I'm in a department that where I'm supposed to be an evangelist. And I said, and they're like, am I misslotted? Do I need to quit? And the answer is no. But I said, this is why you are a shepherd with an evangelistic bent. And you're a perfect match for this role if you allow yourself to reframe what your understanding of shepherd truly is. But when we know our function, and when we help other people understand their function, we experience this mutual encouragement that makes both of us get better. When I know my function, and you know your function, I give you permission to be who you are, and I can complement your gift set, and you can complement my gift set, so that together we're greater than the sum of the parts. Community always directs discovery. We read this in Acts chapter 13. It says, the church in Antioch had prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. So it's interesting. Everybody already knows that the room is filled with prophets and teachers. The question was, where should these prophets and teachers go to exercise their gift in this unique moment in history? And so together, everybody came together in worship. So did you notice that there's not one function that worships and other functions that don't? All of the functions are called to prayer, to worship, to fasting. And as a result of that time, some of the prophets and teachers identified that two of these prophets and teachers should be sent out on mission to go do the same work in a different town. And community always aids in discovery. Friends help us focus our function. The church helps us know what function we have and how to exercise it in specific seasons. Yes, you could read a book and you could take the test on your own. But it's only when we have other people who can see dimensions of our lives that we can't see that help us fully step into who God says we are. Now, once you have like a rudimentary understanding of this, you could start surveying people in your life and say, oh, I think I know who fits in these respective buckets. So one of the things I love about working for and with Craig is Craig is almost as pure an apostle as I have ever seen. Like Craig has this amazing and uncanny knack to discern where the future is going and how to leverage assets and resources and people and networks in order to advance the kingdom in ways that the rest of us might not be able to imagine. And then we have like the amazing gift of having people on our worship team like Nate exercise a prophetic gift. And the prophetic gift, I've seen Nate call people to repentance, both publicly and interpersonally, in a way that is grace-filled but is entirely unbending. Where he says, God is calling you to be here, you're settling for here, there's a gap, let's address it. And he does it with warmth of spirit and kindness of heart. Talk about evangelist. Like, Rebecca, I don't know if evangelist is going to come out as your first, but if you've ever seen Rebecca tell the Jesus story to somebody who's not yet in the kingdom, it is a thing of beauty because it comes out of you so naturally and so organically and so filled with grace and love and beauty that I'm like, I'm going to bring her everywhere I go because people respond to the gospel when she thrives in her function. And if you've ever in your life received a handwritten card from Christy Boovie, you know that she's a shepherd upside down and sideways, six ways a Sunday. She's got shepherd all over her because you read those notes and you go, oh, she's with me at my time of need and she's for me and she sees me and I'm not alone. Like she's exercising a shepherd gift through and through. And Lynn Bruce is one of our amazing teachers. Like he is so good. And on top of all of his other responsibilities, opening up the scriptures and shining light on tough topics and challenging passages that help the people who's a part of his community group take the next forward step in their journey. And we are blessed to have people who, whether they're doing it consciously or not, thriving in their functions. And the question that we're asking this morning is, what if everybody here knew what their function was and leaned fully into it through the support and encouragement of everybody else? What might God do?